Today, decoding financial advisor fees. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tim Fuller, the head of advice from Nucleus Wealth. Hi, Tim.
G'day, Martin. Great to be back on the show again.
Well, thank you very much for spending some of your valuable time with me. And, you know, the Walk the World funds are going pretty well. A few people have walked across and are now investing via Nucleus Wealth. But I thought it'd be really good to have a conversation with regard to the thorny question of the financial advisor fees, because it's probably one of the big questions that people get confused about. And I think also, thinking back to what ASIC said some years ago, you know, the industry is rife with misinformation and half-truths about it. So let's try and cut to the chase and, you know, talk about what's really going on.
Absolutely. Yeah, look, and I think with most professions, you know, obviously fees need to be charged, costs need to be met. One of the sad things about financial advice, I think, is it's sort of really, it's started from a really rocky beginnings, essentially. So, and once again, I'll always put the caveat out there that there's always been independent advisors throughout it, and I'm sure I'll be hearing about it if I don't put that caveat in there. But broadly speaking, you know, the industry grew out of products and essentially having, you know, and finance being what it is, it's not always as easily understood. And so someone's there in the middle to help facilitate that. The problem was, of course, that the products were providing the financial incentive to creating the industry and having people available. And what that did then was, of course, created what you'd probably call perverse incentives for advisors or for people in the industry to recommend a certain product over another one. And look, thankfully, a lot of that has gone away. And what part of the reason for putting together my recent article was, of course, to just work through the remaining sort of ways that advice fees and services can be charged for, knowing now that a lot of the commissions have been taken out of the industry. But you know, look, you know, commissions are, you know, they can be an ugly word, I guess. And you know, if anyone I'm sure there's plenty of people on your channel who've got feelings towards real estate agents, which of course is another commission driven industry, where I guess financial advice probably took that a step further again, though, was that the opaqueness and the lack of transparency of exactly who was getting paid for what and whether or not the recommendations and the advice that was being provided was in the best interest of the client or whether it was just going to the highest bidder on the product side.
Right. And it's just worth, I think, pulling it apart a little bit because, you know, there are all sorts of fees relating to the advice part of the conversation, right? Which is, you know, when you try and structure what you do and how you do it. And there's a whole bunch of fees then relating to the ongoing management of the funds, you know, whether you transact and all those sorts of things, right? Now, we're going to focus more, I think, today on those initial conversation type fees rather than the ongoing running fees.
Sure. Yeah, look, absolutely. A big part of like anybody who's been out to a financial advisor, and I guess, you know, a big part of coming on your show is speaking not just to people that have never been and seen a financial advisor before and want to know more information, but also people that maybe have crossed paths with advice over the last couple of decades, particularly when the more commission-driven model was prevalent and not taken away as we find it today. And that's exactly right. You know, the way that the advice can be charged for goes down a number of different paths, which we can chat about today. Mm. And it's really about then ascertaining, well, firstly, probably having knowledge that there are different ways it can be charged and then going, okay, how does this apply to my situation? Am I comfortable with it? Am I going to see value in this particular charging model as well, Martin?
Right. And so the critical point to make is that the advice around what to do needs to be disconnected from any of the fees and charges relating to the products, right? So advisors cannot cross effectively recommend on the basis of the commissions they're going to receive because of the product sold.
Absolutely. Well, probably a step further than that is that with most products these days, and this includes older products, the payment from the actual product has been removed. A lot of them were stripped out, particularly on the investment side from 2012 with the future of financial advice reforms. There still remains some component in life insurance. However, it is always generally very clearly, you know, notated in the back exactly what it is. And it's been quite standardized as well. And I've seen this over my 10 odd years in the industry that there's been, you know, significant reforms in legislation, but also on the product side, the commission piece has been quite leveled out and you know, it's very clear to understand. However, obviously to the everyday person, that's not as obvious. And so it does need to be explained by, you know, by the advisor and obviously documented and put in the in those relevant pieces of information for the client to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, disclosure is critical, right? And so you should be able to ask for information about the fees. In fact, I would say that's almost one of the first conversation questions you should have, right? Because the fees do vary considerably based on the you know, status of the advisor and how much they think they can charge. And I have this theory sometimes that actually bigger fees aren't necessarily better.
Well, that's right. Absolutely. And the fee's got to reflect the work that's involved. And I guess speaking from an advisor, it needs to also reflect the amount of risk that having that client is on, you know, is to their business as well. And that's sort of something that isn't thought about so much on the personal side, but it certainly matters on the business side. But the bigger part of it as well is actually going, okay, well, what's being done at the moment? What's the cost of that? And how am I paying for that? And so there's a number of different methods. I guess the original one which jumps to mind is the hourly rate. So an advisor might say, and this is, people are used to this obviously in other services industries as well, it's going to take X amount of time, and so, you know, I'm going to be charged this certain amount, and off we go. It's quite a transactional environment in that regard. And I guess the other end of the spectrum, which is another commonly used one, is the assets under management or funds under management. So if you're going to an advisor with $500,000 to invest, they might charge 1%, which is $5,000 a year. So you can sort of see that that sort of cost piece in there as well. And I guess the one in the middle, which is where the industry is probably headed, and certainly an area that I'd be seeking, is what's called fee for service. And so most advisors are moving in this path these days, and it's very, I guess, it's got a degree of transparency, because if you're going to an advisor with, say, six items that need to be done, or through the, you know, the course of the conversation, six areas need to be addressed, you can then say, okay, well, what's going to cost what? And so then you can work through and say, okay, well, there might be three or four very immediate problems that need to be solved. And so there can be a piece or a quote provided for that area. And then you can say, you know, whether or not the four or five or five or six at the end, or fifth or sixth, sorry, would then need to be worked out straight away, or whether, you can talk about those a little bit later on, and obviously have those paid for a little bit later on as well, hence the name fee for service. And so I guess it's really about, once again, going back to knowing, you know, how the pricing's charged, how the industry works as well, and having an opportunity to perhaps talk about this with an advisor and say, okay, well, this is what I'm looking to get done. And, you know, I know, you know, somewhat how you guys charge. And so, you know, this is how I would like my fees to be reflected.
Again, just to underscore, all of those three models are perfectly valid, right? But they have pros and cons, right? Because obviously, if you think about it being related to the assets under management, the bigger the portfolio, the more you pay, right? With regard to the hours, well, the question there is, well, how do you know how many hours are the right hours? I'm conscious of solicitors who charge what, by the quarter hour, or even, you know, 5 minutes or whatever, right? And suddenly you see significant bills, or indeed the fee for service, where effectively there is a clear agreement as to what's going to be paid for what particular service, seems to me the most transparent of the three.
Absolutely. Well, at least, you know, the hourly rate, I think on the surface can seem attractive because it's very clear you charge X amount per hour and it's going to take these amount of hours, but it may or may not take that amount of time, as you've said, Martin, whereas the fee for service is, you know, basically a quote for the work to be done. Now, there still needs to be a little bit of discrepancy or there needs to be some movement in the ability for people to, you know, sometimes things do cost more, particularly with more complex areas. And so if you don't allow that ability for the advisor to I guess, cover themselves, then they're probably just going to quote very high. So, you know, if the more fixed the price is going to be, then the more, I guess, you know, wiggle room needs to be built into that price in case things go wrong. So that's probably another discussion that you can have with an advisor. And look, an experienced advisor will know where there may be a blowout and let you know about that. And if you're comfortable with that, then, you know, off you go. And those are the sort of areas where you want professional advice, because if an advisor is having trouble or that, you know, it's taking more time, then imagine doing it yourself.
Absolutely. And that's the whole point, isn't it? The idea of using professional advice is you get more information appropriately provided more quickly to enable you to make a better decision. And I always want to say to people, when you think about the fee that you're paying, set it in the right context, right? Because what you're doing here is you're making investment decisions, not just for today, but for, you know, the next few years. And therefore, getting the right advice on the way in is absolutely essential, because the decisions that you take can end up good or bad. And, you know, you're talking a lot of money if you actually make the wrong decisions.
Oh, look, 100%. And that's why it's crucial. You know, there's sort of two components. I guess one is having an external view and sharing, you know, using their experiences to have some confidence of where you're going. And I guess that's the second part, is actually waking up in the morning and feeling like you're in control, you've had help, you've paid for it, but at the same time, you're not wandering around in the wilderness wondering, you know, where about, what you're going to be doing with yourself in 20 years' time. You know, you've got a pathway in place. And I guess that's probably just the follow-on, really, in the second bit of the fee piece, which is looking at then what it costs for an ongoing relationship to maintain the plans that you've put in place, or at least keep them on track. Now, that can vary in terms of pricing to perhaps your initial interface with an advisor. So looking at the fee for service piece, you've got a series of pieces of work that need to be done, corrective action, getting you on track. And then perhaps the ability to have that maintenance component, you know, on an ongoing basis drops away a little bit. And so perhaps you don't need to pay as much. And certainly that's a follow-on conversation, or perhaps even at the start, in sort of saying, okay, well, what's it going to be worth to sort it all out? And how much is it going to cost to keep me on track? And so that way, when you come out of those sort of initial meetings, it's very clear, you know, what it's going to be worth for the whole adventure, I guess, or the whole experience. And then, you know, you can go away and reflect on that.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I underscore again the point, it is quite legitimate to ask questions about fees, right? Mm. And if advisors get edgy in terms of not wanting to answer them, or indeed, you know, evasive, walk away, right? Because this is critical, absolutely critical to get clear.
Absolutely. Look, if they can't validate, if an advisor, you know, professional of any profession can't validate their pricing structure, their fees, and the value that you're going to be getting from, you know, that experience, then that doesn't sound like a professional I'd like to have a whole lot to do with. And, you know, and that's point number one, is exactly what you've said there, Martin, is that, you know, if it doesn't feel right, there's plenty of advisors out there. Look, you know, the industry is going through some interesting times at the moment, but there's still a terrific amount of advisors in, you know, most corners of the country. And look, getting a second opinion is never, never a bad thing. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, shop around is very important advice here, I think. And I guess the other question, Tim, is, to what extent is it important to get the fees in writing before you start? You know, because obviously you can have, you know, phone conversations, et cetera, but do you think it's important to get it in writing?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, if particularly when, you know, when there's so much at stake and you're spending a lot of time. Now, people don't have a lot of time anymore, you know, in any facet of their life. So if you're focusing on something, you're quite often handing over, you know, private details, you're sharing, you know, the directions on where you're going. You need to also have a firm idea of what this is going to be worth at the other end. And going back to the fact that, you know, like in any other profession, you deserve to have a really good appraisal of what the whole thing's going to be worth, and so you're comfortable with the whole thing, and you know it will continue.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that, Tim. And just to underscore again, we're talking at the front end, right? There are also potentially some downstream fees that relate to the ongoing management of the pool of wealth, effectively, and the transaction fees. We might come back and cover that later because there's a whole bunch of other questions there. But in terms of on the way in, ask the right questions. Make sure that you do ask about the fees. Make sure you get it in writing. And shop around, make sure you get the best bang for the buck, but also understand that sometimes paying that bang is right to get the long-term performance that you need.
Well, that's right. Yeah, looks, and as I'm sure your listeners know very well, the power of compounding can work fantastically for you if you're getting it, getting it right. And obviously long-term investment leverages that in no other, in probably the best possible way. But that's, the crucial component of getting it right to start is if you don't set yourself on the right path, then you're only doing yourself a disservice. So,
Thank you, Tim. Well, I appreciate your time and your advice. We'll put a link to your article below because it's actually worth reading, I think. And I'm sure we'll pick up the conversation again down the track. I think Damien's on next Tuesday to talk about latest market development. So that'll be an interesting conversation. And I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
Absolutely. Yeah, great to be back on again. Good on you, Martin.
Thanks, Tim. See you later.
Cheers.